In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. In this week, I picked up IMA, our oldest daughter, from college. Exams were ending and summer break was starting. It was a gorgeous day, and I took the time to take a long walk around campus. Everything was so perfect. It was mid-May, blue skies, and the gardens were green, flowers, blossoms. And everywhere you looked, you would see them on the trees and all along the paths. And you certainly didn't have to stop and smell the roses. The gorgeousness of spring offered its continual incense from one end of the campus to the other. And for me, those few hours on campus, they were for me very healing. There is so much ugliness in this world. Human beings created for communion with one another. Human beings too often darken this world with hatred and screed and contempt. We use words to ridicule and to belittle. We use images to divide and alienate. Our national politics is crass and disgusting. But you get what you pay for. Our politicians behave badly, but then we turn around and we reward them with votes. And that takes an ugly situation and makes it even more foul and disfigured. Go to your favorite social media site and read the comments if you can. Human beings are so cruel. What they say to one another turns your stomach, and when you finish reading those comments, you really do feel like taking a shower. But last week, those gardens and all those flowers, those trees and lawns and fields of green, that one college campus on that one spring day, they reminded me that God did not create us to be defilers. God did not create us to desecrate and to degrade. We are creatures that seek and create beauty. Beauty. Human beings are created to cultivate gardens and compose music. We paint and we sculpt and we write. We are capable of creating such things as the Canterbury Tales, the calculus, and the Great Wall of China. And not only do we seek beauty where beauty is unsuspected. We create meaning from chaos. In the ugliness of this world, we are capable of locating splendor. I think, in particular, always in this regard of Saint Andrei Rublev. Rublev is the greatest iconographer of the Russian Church. If you don't know him by name, you know him by his work. His icon of the Holy Trinity is perhaps the most beloved icon in the history of the church. Our Trinity here at St. Nicholas, there atop the iconostasis, our Trinity is based on Rublev's Trinity. But St. Andre, if you don't know his story, he's a monk near Moscow during a very troubled time. This is the late 1300s. When Rublev is a young man and he's just learning to paint, Moscow there in the late 1300s is the victim of repeated invasions by wandering conquerors, the Tartars. Moscow is burned and sacked. Thousands are carried away as slaves. And the Tartars return a few times each year to take whatever they want. It's a repeated series of invasions, time and time again. And the invasions are brutal, there is torture, there is sickness, and because of the disruption, there's famine on top of that. And it is often the monks who take care of the victims, monks like Saint Andre. As a young man, he sees unspeakable horror. He knows what the human body looks like after it has been beaten and starved and tortured. There in the monastery, he nurses the bodies. He feeds the starving. Most likely, he sets bones and he closes up wounds. And out of this ugliness, Saint André brings forth beauty that takes your breath away. The man who sees hell paints heaven. He sees the worst that human beings can do to one another, but what he offers in return is pure light and goodness. He transfigures what is base and revolting into a vision of the gospel. Those lessons in the monastery, learning what the human body looks like when it suffers, those lessons learned by Saint André, and he takes those lessons and he turns them. He turns them into the images of Christ and the saints, images that have no rival in the church. In that human sin and brokenness, Rubloff sees the beauty of love. In the hell of human violence, Rubloff can see the joy of God's kingdom. St. André is really no different from you and from me. We are all created. All of us are created by God to seek beauty, and in particular to seek beauty where beauty is unsuspected. And we are this way because God is this way. We are created to honor and magnify God's very own instincts, God's very own desire to seek and create what is good, what is beautiful, and what is true. And in the gospel this morning, Christ himself is once again on the move, and he is searching for beauty in a scandalous and a God-forsaken place. Christ is in Samaria, the ancient rival of Israel. The Samaritans and the Jews, they were once brothers and neighbors. But over 1,000 years, they grow apart and they grow to hate one another. To the Jews, the Samaritans are worthless pagans at best who corrupt the faith and they defile the traditions of Abraham and Moses. Jesus shouldn't even be in Samaria. But there he is, where he should not be, and talking to someone he should not talk to. It's a woman. And worse than a woman with a shocking and shameful history, a history of bouncing from husband to husband, a woman who is now not even worthy for marriage. But there Jesus is, like Rubloff, in his troubled monastery. There Jesus is in Samaria looking for beauty where no one suspects that it exists. By tradition, we know the Samaritan woman in the Orthodox Church by a name. We call her Fotini. It's Svetlana in Russian. Fotini, it sounds like photo or photon or phosphorus. It's related to the word light in Greek. Fotini means the luminous one, the one who gives off light. And there at the well in Samaria, what Christ finds is not what we think he finds, which is the worst of the worst. She is the worst of the worst by cultural standards, yes. But in her, Christ finds radiance and he finds grace. And he sees what no one else can see. To the Son of God, Fotini is the luminous one, and he can't look away. And it's to her, to this woman in Samaria, married 5 times, now with another person, it's to her that he chooses to reveal himself, to speak very directly, to bring her the words of life so that she might also see what he sees, so that Fotini might be rescued from the world's opinion and brought into the true light of God's love for her. To the world, and probably in her own mind, Fotini's life is a wasted life. But to God who made her, Fotini forever remains the luminous one. And brothers and sisters, Christ is once again on the move, in search of beauty where no one thinks to look. Christ is here. He is in our midst. And he's looking at you and he is looking at me. He's once again looking for Photini, for the light that he knows that is in you, because Christ, rather, he placed that light in you with his own hand. Maybe Photini is relatable. Maybe to the world and maybe in your own mind, your life has fallen short, without purpose or meaning or direction, a missed opportunity, a bad decision or two or ten, much suffering and grief and unbearable shame. This morning, like Photini, go to the well. Go to the well and let Christ find you. The well is the church. The well is Scripture. The well is prayer. The well is worship. And above all, the well is the chalice. And this is the place where you are right now without equal, where the Lord brings forth beauty from destruction. Once again this morning, the tomb is empty. Once again, hell is destroyed and the dead are raised. Once again, death dies and life lives. Here at this liturgy, Christ unveils a fountain of water that springs up to everlasting life. But the well is also your home. The well is also your school and your office. The well is also 128 to 993. The well is also your to-do list and your tax forms. The well is your credit card bills. Allow Christ to find you here in this place, and also allow Christ to find you out there where life is hard and discouraging and oftentimes, quite frankly, really, really scary. There is no place where the Father is not. No place. There is no ugliness that Christ does not see through. There is no darkness that hides you from the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are the luminous ones to the life-giving Trinity. You and I are the ones that the Lord forever seeks. You and I are the flowers and the fields in God's garden of delights. You and I, we're the icons, more beautiful than Rublev's. We are the icons that adorn heaven and enliven the kingdom. God desires an eternity with you. Let eternity begin today. And drink from the living water which Christ offers, and brothers and sisters, never thirst again. Christ is risen. Amen.